Please remain standing if you can for our scripture reading and then for our praise hymn. This morning the scripture comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 31. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know Him. And He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened in these days?" And he said to him, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and their rulers and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one, that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Join with me, step by step. Father, we do seek to follow You each and every day, and may this day be the same. May we draw close to You and allow You to work in our hearts and our lives. May all that we do be pleasing in Your sight, and may all that is spoken here, Lord, be Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning when I came in and was here and John came in, and he was back there at the back at the computer and getting things set up ready this morning to with the sound system and all, and we were just talking, and I looked up here at the front and I looked up here at the altar, and I saw those flowers on there, and I said, who in the world put those ugly flowers up there this morning? Well, it wasn't but just a second I realized that John had put them up there because I saw the announcements. Kind of stuck my foot in my mouth, didn't I? I'm just kidding. I didn't really do that. The flowers are too pretty to have said that. You'd have thought I was completely crazy if I said that. But I told you that to kind of get the look on your face and get your mind in the place of thinking how easy it is to not realize, to be talking to someone, not realizing exactly who you're talking to or what you might be saying, that you need to kind of keep a, you know, think about who you're talking to. Don't you reckon after this whole story was over with, now I'm going to kind of go talk about the end of it, but we'll go back to the Scripture and kind of look at it in a few different light, so to speak. But can't you imagine that the surprise and the shock that must have been going through these two disciples, these two followers of Jesus, when they realized who they had spent the whole afternoon walking and talking with, that they just hadn't seen what it was and who it was that they were talking to. Sometimes we can see, you know, we can be right in the presence of someone or something and we don't realize it, you know, kind of get lost in the can't see the forest from the trees kind of thing. We never know who we may be around, who we're talking to. Jesus' followers, certainly in this story today, didn't know who they were talking to. Now, when you look at this, it says the two of them. There were two of them. Who were these two? As you read on the Scriptures, you find out one of them's name is Cleopas. Now, that's not, I don't remember a disciple, an apostle named that. And so, obviously, he wasn't one of the 12 or the 11, as it would have been at that point. He wasn't one of them. There were two of them. There was somebody else with them. If you go on back in the story to earlier than what I... where I was reading, go back to verse 9, it says, and they remembered his words, then they returned from the tomb and told all those things to the 11 and to the rest. So these two men that were walking along there together, going towards Emmaus, were some of those people that had followed Jesus throughout his ministry, who had become ardent followers of his, who weren't just one of the 11 or the 12 disciples that had been specifically chosen. So it was one of those who had followed Jesus, who had been witness to the things that had happened, the miracles that had been performed, and certainly to the crucifixion, to his death, and to the fact that there had been an empty tomb on that morning. Now, as we look at this, I want to look at some things that this passage teaches us about Jesus. There are three things that I want to look at this morning. The first thing that this passage teaches us is that even when we're running from Him, He comes to us. Now, the Scripture said they were on their way to Emmaus. Now, say they're running from Him, running from something anyway, because it just seems like as soon as the way the Scripture indicates that as soon as they found out this thing about the empty tomb, they're out of there. They're gone. I mean, if they're a real follower of Jesus, someone who is dedicated to Him and who is going to... Wouldn't you think that if they were just... If they were not afraid of something, that they would have stayed there to investigate, to see what had happened, to see where or who may have taken his body. But they get out of there right away. They're afraid, I believe, it seems, of what kind of repercussions might be coming down from the Roman authorities or from the synagogue itself, because someone has gone in and taken Jesus' body and is trying to make it look like he was resurrected from the dead. They don't want to be any part of it. You know, Jesus was, he was a good man. They loved him. They wanted him to be the Christ, the Messiah, but he's dead now. There ain't nothing they can do about it. They can't help him a bit. Better to run and fight again some other day than to die where they were. They left. They were headed west to the town of Emmaus. It was sunset, or approaching sunset. They were heading into the west. And it says in the Scripture that their eyes were restrained. I don't know what some of the other versions say about that, but it seems like there was a problem with their vision somehow. Was this a divine thing, or was it just, many scholars would say that they were headed into the west, and the sun late in the afternoon was shining in their faces brightly, and they couldn't get a good look at Jesus. That seems pretty lame to me, because these were people that had been with Jesus for several years and were intimately aware of him. It indicates going away from the place where Jesus would have been, where he would have appeared and been present at, if it was true that the resurrection had occurred. They must have been scared to death. They were frightened for themselves and their families, and they had to get away from the pain that was there. They just couldn't take any more disappointment, any more failed hopes. And as they ran from it all, Jesus appeared to them. Jesus comes to them on the road where they are. You know, I just think about how many times in our lives we run from Jesus. We have put our hopes and our trust in Him. We believe in Him. We confess Him. We love Him. And then something happens that just causes us such pain and such distress that we begin to question it all, of whether or not Jesus is real and whether He really was raised from the dead. And the thing that we want to do is just run and get away from the situation where it all happened. We can't stand to be disappointed anymore. Folks, I'm here today to tell you that Jesus will come to you where you are, in the midst of your hurt and your pain, in the midst of your disbelief, doubt, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're experiencing. Jesus will come to you wherever you are. That's one of the things we can know about Jesus from this passage. Regardless of where we are, what we're dealing with, Jesus will come to us. The second thing that we learn about Jesus from this passage is that when we can't make sense of things, He shows us the way. They were confused, these disciples were, these followers were. They thought He was the one. They thought He was the prophet they confessed that He was a prophet in word and deed. Yet He was killed by the priest. They explained the story to Him, to Jesus. He was their whole hope. He was the one they had hoped for, the one that they hoped would restore Israel. And these women that had gone to the tomb, they couldn't even bear to say to Jesus there, the stranger that they met on the way, who they didn't recognize as Jesus, they couldn't even really say to Him that it was angels that had visited these women, but they had a vision of angels. They had to qualify that. They had to rationalize that experience. They were confused. They didn't know what had happened. Verse 27, we're told this after their confusion and after their confession of confusion. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Jesus set things in order for them. He explained them to them. He showed them how it would work, that He would have to live, that He would have to suffer and die, and that He would be raised from the dead. He showed it to them in the Scriptures and explained it to them and made it plain. Have you ever had trouble making sense of your life? Where is it God is leading me? What is this all about? Where am I supposed to... How do I believe this? How do I get there? I thought Jesus was going to make life just smooth and peachy keen all the way through. But there's difficulties that come along. There are problems that arise. I can't figure it out. Folks, if we will just allow Jesus to come to us. We talked about a personal relationship with Jesus this morning. That's what makes Jesus real to people. It's what made Jesus real to Paul. Paul had been around and heard the stories about Jesus, was probably a little boy when Jesus was crucified. A child probably. But Paul had heard these things and saw these things, but it wasn't until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus that he lived for Jesus. Folks, we have to have a personal encounter and allow Christ to speak to us. Now, I'm I don't know about you, but I've never heard the voice of Jesus in an audible way. I'm not going to pretend that I have, but I have heard Him speak into my heart. I have heard Him in the quiet of times, just sitting and thinking and praying and studying His Word. I have heard Him speak in the words that people have spoken to me when I needed somebody to share something with me and just say something positive to me, because I just didn't think that there was anything good about me or my life or anything that I could ever do. I have heard His voice. I have encountered Him personally, and I bet you have too. And if you haven't, you can, because He is a personal Savior. He is not some regal, royal monarch that sits up on a high and exalted throne and inaccessible and unavailable. He wants to be a personal God to you. If you can't make sense out of it, ask Him into your heart for a personal relationship. Seek and endeavor to grow closer to Him and to understand more fully His will and His place for you in this world. In Jesus, and only in Jesus, things begin to make sense for those two followers, and only in Him will things truly make sense to us. The third thing that we can learn about Jesus from this passage is that when we can't see who He is in this world, when we can't see Him operating, when we can't see His presence, it's Him who opens our eyes. In the story that we read this morning, that I've read to you this morning, it's in the breaking of bread, it's in the sharing of a meal and the breaking of bread, in which the disciples, the followers' eyes are opened immediately to who Jesus is. You see, the thing about sharing a meal, there's something personal about sharing a meal with someone else. There's something for... How many of you, if you go out and you happen, say you're at work, or you're out doing something and you want something to eat and you need to get something to eat, it's lunchtime, do you want to go and sit down with a perfect stranger and just strike up a conversation and eat lunch with somebody you don't know? Some of you may be extreme extroverts and love to do that, but I don't. If I see somebody I know, I'll go sit down with them. But I tell you what, if I go into a crowded place, if I go into McDonald's down there to get me a hamburger or whatever, and there ain't anybody in there I know, I am not going to walk up and just sit down with somebody else and start eating. I can't do it. I'd just be so uncomfortable, and I would be uncomfortable if somebody else did that I didn't know. When we sit down together and dine together, when we share a meal together, there's something personal about it. It was much more so in the days of Jesus. When people dined together, there had to be some kind of connection that established a relationship. That's why the Pharisees and the scribes got so ticked off with Jesus when He would go and eat with the Pharisees or the publicans and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and those such folks, sinners, because it was a personal thing. It meant that Jesus desired a relationship with them. Jesus ate with these two men, these two followers, and then He broke the bread, and they remembered the Last Supper, and the Scriptures were open to them. Folks, if you can't see Jesus where you are, what I encourage you to do is to take Him in more fully, is to have and desire and sit down and sup with Him. Make that appointment with Him on a daily basis to pray, to study your Bible, to do good works and share God's love with the people that you work with, that you go to school with, that you see at the drugstore, the doctor's office, wherever you are. The people that you call on the phone and that call you, bless them. Bless them by sharing the encounter with Christ that you have had. Breaking the bread opened their eyes. We need to take Jesus in totally, fully, and surrender to His grace. Verse 30 and 31 speak it to what happened. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, He took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them. Their eyes were open and they knew Him. and he vanished from their sight. Jesus had come to them. Jesus had opened their eyes. Don't you know, if you read on in this passage here, you see that they were not able to continue westward away from Jerusalem where Jesus was at. They had to turn around and run back to Jerusalem to let the disciples and the others know that they had seen the risen Lord. This morning, if you're feeling like you haven't seen a whole lot of Jesus, that you need to get closer to Him, we, this morning, will break the bread and share the cup, just as Christ did on that night at the Last Supper, and just as He did with the disciples, those men who knew Him, those followers who were fleeing, as He shared it with them, and they returned to the place of their faith, the seat of their faith. I invite you this morning, in the sharing of this cup and this bread, that you be able to find Christ all over again, regardless of where you at, that you find Him anew and fresh, and allow Him to rule in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your work in the world. We thank You for Your perfect gift. We thank You, Lord, that we can learn about You and Your work in our lives. Speak to us now, Lord, and draw us close, that as we continue to worship You here today, that all may be to Your glory and Your honor. In Christ we pray. Amen. This morning, I would invite you to join with me in the liturgy surrounding the communion, the Lord's Supper. It's on the screen, or it's page 12 in your hymn book. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and
a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave it to you, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of children, let us pray as Christ taught His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen.